Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. Great show, great lineup today. We've got Lee Fonswog, who's been around the sports scene in Louisiana for many years, a morning advocate, the Times newspaper at one point, a writer, has his own TV show like myself. He's been in it a long time. Actually, I was watching his TV show thinking about, man, this is hard to do. Was a guest on Lee's show a few times when it was in the Rebel Shopping Center on Florida Boulevard, and it's now upgraded to the Cox Communications Building Center now in Lobdell, Florida, where we both do the same show in the same area, same studio. And we have Josh Booty calling in from Dallas, Texas. I know Lee will be excited to ask him probably basketball questions, but we're going to talk basketball. We're going to let Lee also promote volleyball. He's really one of the top knowledgeable people on that, and his wife is a legendary volleyball coach from St. Joseph's Academy here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we've got also our fan segment, Jeff Morgan, to be calling in. We're going to go ahead and get into the show, and I want to say, Lee Fonswog, thanks for joining us this morning. I know you got a doctor's, got stuff going on, and I appreciate you making time to be here.
Not doctor, physical therapy for a blown-out shoulder. Ooh. As I still try to continue my water polo career. Even at my age, traveling to play with kids my own age out west and around the world. So it's physical therapy for a torn rotator cuff, a torn labrum, tendinopathy, arthritis, bursitis, and really old. Other than that, it's good.
Well, thanks, Lee.
Yeah, right. But so to clear up a couple of quick things, the TV show, of course, is Sports 225, which was Sports Monday when we were both over at that building that no longer exists in the old Rebel Shopping Center that's now Baton Rouge Community College, which is one of the great success stories in our state, how that college has blown up and is helping so many people. But you remember that old ratty building? It smelled, and the studios were brutal, but nonetheless, we got on the air. It happened. I started when it was Cablevision changing over to TCI. It was AT&T briefly, and then it's been Cox for a while. And thank goodness Cox took the chance and built that big complex it did on Florida and Lobdell. Because if you remember, that was a really shaky area. And I was like, well, you guys are going to do what? And it's really helped the whole surrounding area there. And it's been really, really good for Baton Rouge.
And I want to give a plug to the people that originally helped you, cameraman Jay Ruiz.
Jay still works at Cox.
Still there, but he was originally at the Rebel Shopping Center as one of your camera guys.
Oh, sure. And Thomas Coleman. Thomas Landash, who was charge of that department, and I still remain friends. He's been out of the TV business a long time. He does Firefly Sweet Tea Vodka. His buddy Scott knew it, and him formed Firefly Sweet Tea Vodka, and he's having the time. It's like, you got some over there on the shelf?
I might
need some to get through the show.
Actually, I've never opened it, and it's still in the bar in the house because we had a party here 12 years ago. And guess who shows up? Your boy, Thomas Landash.
Good.
Well, with it, and it was brand new. He's like, I've got this brand new.
That stuff's good. Company. Firefly Sweet Tea Vodka has got a really good line. Not that they don't pay for advertising.
He's so going to love you for that.
He's getting all this for free.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow.
And then to clarify more on the volleyball stuff. So I'm the editor of Volleyball Magazine, which is volleyballmag.com. And my partner and I owned it, and then we got bought. So it's been a really, really great deal. And the aforementioned Brenda LeBlanc is completely out of volleyball. She's in four halls of fame as a coach, including the dynasties she built at Episcopal of Acadiana and St. Joseph's Academy, and then all the stuff we did at Volleyball Baton Rouge. And volleyball is almost all I do. And she has nothing to do with it anymore.
Really?
So go figure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why I feel like, you know, hey, it's a podcast. We can ramble on for as long as we want. I can catch you up to speed. So for all of those of you who are driving, listening to this, who just fell asleep at the wheel, snap out of it. Lee will get back to football in a minute.
Now, also, she has a pretty famous baseball nephew, I believe. MLB.
Her late brother's son, Wade LeBlanc. I think he's going to be a 13th year major leaguer. He's from Lake Charles. Played at that real big high school over there. Barb went to Alabama. Was the SEC pitcher of the year, I think, his last year. He'd probably be 34, 35 years old now. He lost 20 games for the Padres once, and you laugh at that maybe and go, oh, but you can't be a 20-game loser in the major leagues unless you're a good pitcher because they have you eat up an awful lot of innings. But he's played for I think he was drafted by Tampa Ray,
originally.
Rays, yeah. And he's played for the Yankees. He was in Japan for 1 year. In the last couple of years, he was with Seattle. And I don't know that they've renewed his contract, so I don't know what his situation is.
Yeah, I mean, a heck of a career. And that is so your wife's nephew.
Correct.
And, yeah, Barb is it's a factory of baseball, the who's who.
There were a lot of good athletes, obviously, the last couple of decades have come out of Barb. More football than anything else, but it's a really good baseball place.
Justin Vincent is the one that I remember the most.
I think they were, yeah, I think he and Wade LeBlanc were actually there together. Justin was a really fast baseball player.
Zachary Von Rosenberg, the punter, the 30-year-old mm-hmm. punter for LSU, was originally at Barb. A lot of people don't know that. He went to Zachary, finished at Barb, and I think they list him as Zachary High School, but he's a Barb kid and actually went minor league baseball, Lee, for a few years and then went back to LSU. That's why he's 30.
Well, speaking of which, you know, later on in the show, you said you're going to have Josh Booty. You remember he went to the Florida Marlins, and Wayne Huizenga, Skip Bertman, he's calling, oh, Mr. Blockbuster's got all that money and he's not going to come here. But, you know, he went – Josh went to the Florida Marlins, and like a lot of guys have gone pro baseball route and then LSU – or not LSU, but college football later. Speaking of which, I saw Jamie Howard not long ago. We have a big volleyball tournament that we put on in New Orleans, Martin Luther King Day weekend. And on the same team from Lafayette, their two daughters, and they sat together, were Jamie Howard and Jake DeLome. And it was great to see Jake, who's one of my all-time favorite people. Jamie's one of the nicest guys. His daughter plays volleyball. She's a freshman this year at LSU, blew out her knee in the second match of the season, unfortunately. But she'll be a good player, his older daughter. And his younger, he has, you know, he's still in the club volleyball scene. So
it's cool. His son, Walker Howard's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And he's going to be a junior. I mean, it's just
I can bore you to tears with all the volleyball connections, but like, Julie Ibietta, who's the volleyball coach at Metairie Park Country Day, her daughter is a setter at Tulane, and now the son is going to be a football quarterback at Tulane, and he's quite the good athlete. And the old man, Juan, played baseball at, I don't remember if he played at Tulane. He played at one of the New Orleans schools. He might have played at UNO. I really can't remember.
But went to Tulane and LSU. No,
Julie Stemple Ibietta, she played on the two NCAA Final Four teams that LSU had in the early 90s. So it's quite an athletic family.
And Justin's 6'5". He's tall.
Big boy. Yeah, well, it's a big family. Julie's 6'2". You know, I mean, it's a, you know, and the mom's the indicator. The you want to look and see how tall somebody's going to be? Look at the mom.
Well, my mom is 5'3", and I'm...
So you came by it honestly.
That's right.
There you go.
My dad, my late dad, he was 5'10", but my uncle, I always used to tell my uncle Fred, you're 6'4", 6'3". Man, what happened?
He gave me
a couple of inches, man. I mean, but getting into basketball, the other day I was talking to you on the phone, and I was telling you about LSU basketball. Obviously, you covered LSU basketball for The Advocate and the newspaper for years, but favorite LSU basketball players, you've got some in mind that you loved over the years, LSU basketball?
Oh, my all-time favorite is Gert Heiming because he was just the most personable, great guy. Now, you're asking me personalities and guys who you liked. Yeah, nobody was better than Gert. I mean, we remain friends and keep up. He lives in Germany, not far from his native Holland. His sons played college basketball, and Gert was one of the great guys. Funny, good thinker, good person. And then obviously Shaquille. There was nothing like covering Shaquille. There were other guys who I really, really am happy to see when I bump into them. I mean, there's so many of them. I was lucky. I was the LSU basketball beat writer for a long time. And I'm real good friends with Rudy Macklin, who I never saw play college basketball.
Yeah, but Louisville, Kentucky.
Be one of my favorite LSU basketball players, even though I never saw him play in college because he was already graduated from LSU when I moved here. The one team that was so good, Vernell Singleton was such a great guy. Maurice Williamson made us laugh a lot.
Connecticut.
You know, later, Maurice Carter was a guy who I really like and still keep up with Maurice. And when I see Ronnie Henderson, I always am glad to see him. And
another Mississippi
Clarence
guy.
Caesar, who is,
from Lake Charles.
What a great defensive player he was and a fun guy. And, you know, just lots and lots of former LSU basketball players. And when I see Dale Brown, it's always really fun for us to hook up and visit.
Lee, we had Dale on the first show.
Did you trick Dale into coming here?
No, he didn't come.
Called in.
He didn't call in.
Okay, yeah. Good. All right. I'm here in person, ladies and gentlemen.
In person.
In the Brickeen Palatial Estates.
Like they say, the old days, Memorax.
That's it.
Yeah. I like Jerry Reynolds, just personally.
Jerry was I think he was a junior my first year here, because I think he went out early, if I recall. He got drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks. He left.
Good
mid-range shooter. You remember, people used to take what used to be called the mid-range jump shot. You young people would know nothing about that. That's one where they don't actually dunk or shoot a three-pointer. You don't see those anymore. But
everybody wants to shoot the three.
I hate the three-point shot. You know, so if can I tell you a three-point shot story? Since you're a captive audience.
The Rockets? The Rockets?
No. So I rail on about the three-point shot a lot because I think it's destroyed basketball. And you always have, no matter when you watch a basketball game now, you see one or two people standing outside the arc doing nothing but holding their hands up towards their teammate, pass me the ball and I'll shoot the three or I'll get rid of it. And it's just infuriating. And I'm lucky enough to be really good friends with Bob Ryan, the sports writer from Boston, who, you know, you might know from ESPN and stuff. And summer before last, we were up there and Brenda and I had lunch with Bob. And Bob is one of the most entertaining, great guys you'll ever meet. So I said to him, all right, look, if there were three things you could change about basketball, what would you do? And the first thing he says is, I'd get rid of the three-point shot. And Brenda goes, oh, God, here we go, you know. So, you know, I'm not the only one, but it's just, it's here. See, the thing is, when they put it in, the NCAA put it in 1987, and I liked it when it was an ABA rule way back in the early 70s. It was cool. It changed the game. But then it was different. Now, the NCAA said, well, we'll put it in because it'll help the small guys. Well, who shoots the best three-pointers? Big guys. You know, you had guys. Remember when Tony Kukoc came over at 6'11"? Stroking it. 6'11" point guard, you know?
Right.
And all, but all the three-point shooters are normally bigger guys who are the best ones. One more favorite LSU player. I have never spoken to Skylar Mays because I have no reason to talk to players anymore because I just watch the games do what I do. He is absolutely the finest LSU basketball player that's ever worn the purple and gold.
I love the kid.
There's been so many great players. Would you put him even in the top 10? I doubt it. But what a fantastic athlete, representative of everything good about college sports. And the kid's a hell of a player. He gets it. He's poised. That team keeps its, even though they're in a slump right now, They are focused and composed, and it's all because of him. That kid is the epitome of what a college basketball player ought to be. He's really, really good.
And he came in and was raw. He's blossomed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there is the only thing about his game that maybe, you know, might keep him from really becoming a longtime NBA player. He's a touch slow, and he's not that big. But, man, he can stroke it. He can cover when he wants to.
Drive to the basket.
He's really, really good. Seems just like a great kid. And
under pressure, he does great. In the game, they give him the ball, and he just makes things happen.
No, he's really, really good.
You know who he reminds me of, Lee? He reminds me of Marcus Thornton.
Marcus Thornton.
Because remember when LSU, I think it was Trent Johnson, had that team. It was one of the winning seasons of Trent Johnson.
Marcus Thornton was unique because he came back from a junior college. You know, he's like a McKinley kid.
Tara.
And came back from a junior college to LSU and needed no transition. He immediately was a really good player. And normally when they come from junior college, you know, there's like a long time before they get with the flow. Marcus Thornton had fantastic hands and could catch and shoot as good as anybody, which is why he made it in the NBA for a pretty long time.
He reminds me, though, that he carried that team. And, you know, Skylar Mays is carrying this team. And I think
carrying's a little strong. He leads this team.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a fantastically athletic LSU basketball team. It's not overburdened with players with great basketball skills, and that does not make it unique, unfortunately, in college basketball.
No true center.
No true center, no true point guard. And if you watch college basketball anywhere, you will find teams with great athleticism and not a lot of basketball acumen or skills. It's just what the game has become. I personally don't enjoy it. I know I sound like the crusty old guy. Get rid of the three-pointer, but I am the crusty old guy.
I don't like the three myself.
Get rid of the three, you know, and like play the game. You know what the most fun basketball team I ever covered? This drives people crazy when I say this, but it's true.
College or NBA?
College. John Brady's first year was one of the worst LSU basketball teams in history. But you know what? They played man-to-man defense like there was no tomorrow, every possession all season long, and they ran a five-man motion with four out, one in, or five out, and they never took stupid shots early in the shot clock and worked their butts off. Now, they couldn't put the ball in the ocean from the edge of the pier.
This is prior to Baby Davis and Tyrus Thomas and all these guys.
This was guys like DeJuan Collins and Chico Potts and people you've never even heard of if you don't remember from those years. But that team played the game the right way. And they all hated Brady, so they banded up together and played well in spite of him. And he'll admit it because he that was a brutal team. I want to say they went 2-14 or something in the league. But played the game the right way. And not too many teams do that.
Well, and you look at, I bet Dr. J would agree with us, Julius Erving. I mean, can you imagine him being just a three-point shooter back in the day? I mean, this guy drove for everything. It was dunks. It was transition. He didn't shoot threes hardly. I mean, mid-range. No, he was a mid-range guy.
I got lucky enough to see him play with the New York Nets when I was in high school. And he was good. He could do some stuff now.
And then, you know, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, those were mid-range guys now that you're thinking about it.
Well, they could shoot the three, but they understood going to the goal. They understood pulling up.
Kevin McHale, those guys.
I'll give you, when I was in college my last year at Southern Illinois, which was in the Missouri Valley Conference, they added two teams to the league that year. One was Bradley and one was Indiana State. Well, we didn't have ESPN then, and there were no regional networks, but we heard, and so they didn't play a league schedule. They were coming in the year after I was leaving. And I've told this guy this story, but we heard that Indiana State had a guy who could play all three positions, and he was white, and we all laughed about it. It was Larry Bird. And Larry Bird just laughed at that when I told him, you know.
And have they had a good player since?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Indiana State's decent now and then. The Valley's a great conference. I love the Valley. Always been Valley proud.
What's unique, though, during that era, you know this, you saw that all this basketball during that McGuire was announcing on TV or coaching, but –
we actually played my senior year. Southern Illinois lost in the second round to Marquette, which went on to win the national championship in 1977.
He was a heck of a commentator, announcer for games.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
Billy Packer and him. You know, Magic Johnson, people forget, he didn't go to Michigan. He went to Michigan State.
Right.
And I think he's the greatest player they've ever put out, and their coach is phenomenal. They're not having a good year, but they it's still early.
Tom Izzo, the coach at Michigan State, and I knew each other, you know, when I covered more college basketball. He got me to vacation in the Upper Peninsula. They call it the Yuppie of Michigan once. I told him, Tom, I'm going to the Yuppie because of you. He was so proud. He's a Yuppie guy.
I missed the UNLV days. Oh. UNLV, the Running Rebels. And
That was one where their guys were good enough to go to the NBA, but they stayed because they would have taken a pay cut.
Yeah, Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony, you know, all those guys.
They played here. LSU beat them, but they're when LSU beat them here, I think it was 91, they had their best player had the flu. But, yeah, details.
My producer, Jace, is saying, stay with the rundown here. Okay, we're going to
stay with the rundown. Well, it's a podcast. It's 3 days long. We can have whatever rundown we want. So is it time for a break? You get to play a little music again and reintroduce some stuff? Yeah. All right, go ahead.
What is your thoughts on fantasy football? I don't know if you really care about it or not. But
I don't, and I played it 1 year. It frustrated the living bejesus out of me. And I said, why would I do this? It just makes me mad. Because, I don't do an NCAA basketball bracket either. And I was the LSU basketball beat writer, covered regional and national basketball, and I couldn't fill out a bracket to save my life. I'd be one of those guys out in the first and second rounds. So
I'm a football guy. I don't play. Mm. But the whole idea was...
It was like, it drove me crazy. And so, no, I don't gamble on sports. I like to gamble in casinos. That's fun. But I don't gamble on sports. And so fantasy football drives me nuts. And I do get a kick out of it, though, you know, when there's an obscure, weird ending, like a fumble that results in, say, a lack of scoring or a weird play at the end of a game that affects both the betting line and the fantasy football, and to see people agonizing over that is kind of funny. But, I'm not. That's not
our talk today is really how guys our age, and we're old, you're talking about the crusty and all that stuff, but people used to meet. like, and I did it maybe in the beginning, but these teams
for fantasy
would meet,
football?
But now they don't meet anymore. They just go online.
My neighbor Brad has the annual fantasy football gathering party at his house for his league.
Oh, they still do it.
And So and all of his buddies are wildlife and fisheries or coastal restoration, and so it. And they all have got those monster pickup trucks. So one night in August, all of a sudden, there'll be like 15 giant pickup trucks on the lawns and in the streets and everything. And, oh, Brad's having his annual fantasy football draft.
Lee Fonswog has volleyballmag.com. We're going to get more into volleyball, too, and talk about how this works for him but nationally, not just locally. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Never would have thought that.
It's time for the hot seat.
Welcome back. Lee Brekeen with the Sports Scouting Report. Today we have Lee Fonswog. We also have Josh Booty calling in from, man, Dallas, Texas. Everything's big in Texas, man. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Man, thank you guys for having me. It's good to catch up with the two Lees and talk a little sports. Of course, I'm sure we'll talk LSU. But, yeah, I'm in Texas. Just moved here about 9 months ago from Southern California and was there for a long, long time. But this is cowboy country, and I'm not a Cowboys fan. I don't know what to do around.
I'm with you. And you're from Shreveport. That's shocking.
Yeah. You know, in Shreveport, I guess Dallas is located closer right than New Orleans. They kind of split in the middle with Saints fans and Cowboys fans. When I was growing up, it was Aikman and I guess Danny White and some of those guys that were quarterbacking some of those great teams in Dallas, and the Saints weren't any good. So most of the fans were Cowboy, you know, most of the people were Cowboy fans growing up, not Saints. But since Drew Brees and Peyton's been in New Orleans, you know, half of Shreveport has turned into Saints fans. But it's fun. I love Sean Payton and what they do offensively. So they're a lot more fun to watch than the Cowboys.
Josh, I want to, before we get into it, and I know Lee's going to have a couple of questions for you, but tell everybody, I've known your family and John, your dad, and mm-hmm. you and your brothers since you were in high school. Remember back when I was taking that risk and calling your dad and out of the blue saying, we're going to give trophies and awards to top players in the state. Going into your senior year, and we did everything at a Holiday Inn in Baton Rouge. We did trophies. And that was before you had recruiting parties. And take us back. Remember that time when you were in high school? It was crazy, man, but it was really fun. And we're talking to – you remember the year? You remember the year you graduated? This is way back.
94. I can remember it like it was yesterday, and it's whatever, 26 years ago now. It seems like time flies. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was playing quarterback at Evangel when Evangel got started, and Denny and my dad started Evangel, the program. Denny Duron's family had owned the church and the church school and asked Denny to come build a football program. He was coaching at Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri, and he had led my dad to Christ actually at Louisiana Tech when they were both playing college football. And my dad had been a pastor. He had gone on and played at Mississippi State, and I'll be short with it, but my dad had gone on to play Mississippi State, felt the calling to start a church in Starkville, Mississippi, and that's where I was born. I was a huge Ron Polk, Mississippi State, Will Clark fan, Jackie Sherrill. I mean, I grew up, you know, I've known Jackie since I was a kid, and so I was a Mississippi State guy until we moved back to Shreveport, and Denny was a big part of us staying in Shreveport because he asked my dad to come over and help him build Evangel from the ground up. And, you know, they located property together. They did everything together to start the school. And I was able to be a big part of the beginning of Evangel. And they went to this passing offense on the football side of things. And of course I played baseball too, but football is such a, it's such a big deal on Friday nights in the South. And we were able to win some games because we threw the ball. No one else did. And it became a kind of a story, you know, statewide, yeah, citywide, and some national stuff as well. And so we, and my brother Abram played on the team my senior year. He ended up playing at LSU, was all SEC freshman. And then, you know, I had other brothers come through. JD played at USC after his, you know, he won a few state titles at Evangel, went to play quarterback for Pete Carroll and Norm Chow, and Sarkisian and Kiffin were there, and Orgeron was there. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how things come full circle. And then I got a younger brother, Jack, that played at Calvary. My dad and Denny ended up going separate ways, and my dad ended up starting a new school in Shreveport, and they it was Calvary Baptist. They were only up to eighth grade. He started a high school there, hired, yeah, Doug Peterson, and my brother played for Doug Peterson there. Now Abram's got a kid playing here at Allen, Texas, going to be the quarterback for Allen High School. They got a monster stadium. They're a huge 6A school here in Texas, and they've won a bunch of titles. Kyler Murray went here. Then I've got twin boys that are eighth graders at Evangel in Shreveport. And
wait. You have twin eighth graders already?
Yeah.
It's
getting old.
Tell me about it, man. They were here yesterday or 2 days ago. They were here and we were working out at Allen in the indoor, but they're at Evangel, from an ex fiance there in Bossier. And, from when I was young, man. And anyways, they're at Evangel and absolutely love it. I think it's just because it's all about sports there, and you know, numbers are down, but they're trying to figure out ways to you know, to be attractive for more kids to come again. But it's been tougher on them lately. But Evangel's still throwing the football. Their quarterback Blake Shapen signed with Baylor to play quarterback and shortstop. So he's a two-sport guy, kind of like I was, and I've helped him a little bit find the right place. He had committed to USC, and then we got him to Baylor because his mom wanted him closer to home. But anyways, that's kind of it in a nutshell. Is on the football side of things, is we were all Evangel Eagles, you know, and tried to make the most of it and make it happen, and I think we did.
Josh, Abram was a great guy. I got to cover him, of course, when he was – at LSU, and if memory serves, I mean, he was also one of the handsomest guys who ever lived. Didn't he do some modeling after football?
He did. We still bring up some of those modeling pics, but
I can only imagine.
Yeah, he, you know, went to New York and modeled. And of course, he was a great receiver. I think he got hurt.
He had back trouble, didn't he?
He did. He didn't play his last year at LSU.
Number 88,
and played. Ended up playing his senior year at Valdosta.
I remember that, which is
I guess a good school if you're kind of like Kentucky of a lower division.
They threw the ball.
He had 1,000-something yards receiving his senior year at Valdosta. But you know, I think his first 2 years at LSU, he definitely led the team in catches and yards and all that. If you know combine those 2 years and in '97, and what made me really want to come back is I came back. When I was playing pro baseball, I came back after I was on the World Series team. I was a backup for the Marlins, and I came back in '97 to watch him play against Spurrier and those Gators in Tiger Stadium. And they knocked off number one Florida, and he had over 100 yards, and he was a freshman, true freshman, which is hard to do. He got in the lineup really fast and was effective and really helped the team. And that's the Kevin Falk, Herb Tyler years. Anyways, I was so excited for him and for LSU, man. I wanted to be there so bad and play with him and be in Louisiana and do the quarterback thing. So I ended up coming back, but he was, you know, I think he had a huge game against Notre Dame, a huge Independence Bowl game and the bowl game, a couple touchdowns, but yeah, he had a great career.
Oh gosh, that Notre Dame game. Do you remember how miserable that one was? Cold, rainy. And he got hurt, if memory serves, in that game.
I remember the white helmets, man. Brutal.
DiNardo cried after that game. It was
the white jerseys.
But yeah, Josh, white. When you there were a couple of things. I was telling the story before you got on when you decided to go play baseball, and Bertman going, "Ooh, I can't keep up with Mr. Blockbuster's money." you know. And then, so you would never remember this probably, or maybe you would, because I thought it was just so funny personally, you know, like press conferences usually just bore the heck out of me. But anyway, you were there and we had a press conference gathering with you, and I was like, you know, this guy's like 35 years old coming back to college. No, you were probably what, 22, 23 maybe at the time?
Yeah, I guarantee I was 23, 22, 23.
And I said to you, Josh, do you think you have the best portfolio of any student on campus? And you just looked at me and didn't, and you knew I was right probably, but it was just so funny. You were like, I can't believe this guy's asking me this question. But
I remember some of that.
Oh, no, you remember when you came back, it was like you were playing with house money. It was like, getting to go to college. I've already got money in the bank. I've got a nice football team. Wasn't Josh Reed one of your primary receivers? Weren't you there when you convinced him to let Reed be a receiver? It was, if I recall, you went to the coaches and said, hey, let this guy be my receiver.
I tell Josh Reed that all the time. I needed 10% of his
earnings.
A broker fee from the Bills for his first round draft pick. But he, you know, he was what a phenomenal player he was. And Jimbo, when he showed up, he couldn't believe how good of a slot guy.
We got to mention he went to Rain High School. He's going to want to know that, you know, he's a Rain High School guy.
I'd seen him play against Evangel, actually, and Abram in high school. And so I knew who he was before he ever stepped foot on campus. And then, you know, he was a third string tailback and couldn't get on the field because Rondell Mealy, and we had Tommy Banks and those guys in the backfield, and we were a ground and pound team. And then, you know, so he was fleet of foot, kind of like Reggie Bush, and he wasn't going to get many carries in between the tackles and be a real running back at LSU. And cause he was so light and small for a tailback. And they were used to, I guess, the Kevin Fox and the Cecil Collins of the world, and it wasn't going to happen for him. And I said, dude, you want to get on the field? We would throw him little screens or something every once in a while. He'd make people miss and make them look stupid. And I went to DiNardo. Well, I went to Josh first and said, man, you should get on the field. We have Jarrell Myers, who was a freshman, who had a great year, but
Texas.
He was a freshman. Yeah, Houston boy. And then we had we put Craig Nall in the slot. We put Jeremy Witten out there. We're playing Alabama, and we got Andy Stroop, Jeremy Witten, Craig Nall, and Jarrell Myers as the four wide.
What a combo!
2 minute drill. And Larry Foster got in trouble. Abram got hurt. Dangerfield got hurt. I had Reggie Robinson too. So those were our six receivers. Blaine Besh, Brett's little brother.
Three of those were walk-ons, man. Yeah.
Three of them were walk-ons, and none of them could run out of sight in a day.
4'8", 4'7", guys.
One of the guys you just mentioned there, Tommy Banks. Man, Tommy Banks is one of my favorite LSU players. He was a warrior. He had, you know, it was just, he had two jobs, you know, block people much bigger than him and occasionally just take the ball up the middle. He was just the nicest, funniest guy.
He was. His family's awesome. They're, you know, deep rooted Louisiana, West Monroe. You know, he's a doctor now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he was a horse. I mean, you saw him in high school at West Monroe because you guys covered the state title games and the, you know, whatever, all the championship games every year. And he was an absolute terror.
Carried it 44 times against Catholic High in the semis. 44 times.
40 times, yeah.
And they had Major Applewhite. They beat him.
That's right. That's right. Maybe here, Miner was, he might have been there. Travis Miner.
Yeah, Travis Miner. Yeah. But I want to mention something. Speaking of funny, I got to throw this out. Lee might get a kick out of this, and Josh too. But why don't we get Josh Booty in the XFL, man? I mean, have you seen these quarterbacks lately in the XFL? I mean, come on, man. Matt McGlynn. I mean, do the George Blanda, Josh. Go to the XFL. And be the guy that just, I mean, you're in shape, man. You still look like you can play.
Somebody told me, Josh, I don't know, I'm trying to think who it was, because they said they were friends with you and played with you a lot in California, but you were a golfing fool. Is that true?
Oh, man, I do love it. I wish I could really think
who it was. Somebody who told me in the last couple of years, I see Josh all the time. I play golf with him, and I can't remember who it was. Yeah.
No, you know, since I moved to Dallas, Brett Besh, who I mentioned, Blaine, his brother Brett, who played at LSU with Jamie and Scott Ray and all those guys, Eddie Kinnison back in the day, receiver. He's my golfing buddy. He's a assistant strength coach for the Cowboys for the last 7 years, and so I play with him all the time. And he's a scratch golfer too. And I'm probably like a three or four, you know, I don't play every day and hit balls, but I love it, man. I love it. But he's he's a part of the golf game every week now, me and him. So we have fun talking to LSU.
Well, I've got to mention this, and I'm sure Lee's going to want to ask you this too, but it's and I didn't even ask you, Josh, talking to you on the phone the other day, but Joe Burrow, your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You played in the NFL. I mean, you played a few years in the league. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow will be the first pick probably unless he wants mm-hmm. out. Do you mm-hmm. like him going to Cincinnati if that happens, or do you think he needs to pull a switch here and I don't want to go to Cincinnati? I mean, what do you think about that?
I would pull a switch if I'm him. There ain't no question. I'm pulling a switch, but I'm not him. And he's from Ohio. His girlfriend lives in Cincinnati. His dad, his family. I mean, Ohio wants him so bad, and that's where he's from. It'd be like me, I was playing baseball in Miami and wanting to come back to Baton Rouge of all places and play college football. I mean, it's because it was home. And people didn't understand what I was doing, but I wanted to do it, And so there's probably that little factor that's laying there that, he's from Ohio. He could do some amazing things. The Browns and the Bengals have struggled for so long. If he could do something for them, he could run for governor, tomorrow. And he could do it in Louisiana too. But, to be there to do it for his home state, there's some pride in that. He'll work a little extra hard just to try to get him over the hump. They need someone like that. I talked to Carson Palmer at the Super Bowl 2-3 weeks ago. And, he was first pick out of Southern Cal, won a Heisman Trophy, wore the same number 9, 6'5", could throw it, was an athlete. I mean, Joe Burrow's a lot like Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer's a unique player because he is very, very talented. Big arm, the whole thing. And we were talking about Burrow at the Sports Illustrated party and event, and he said, man, he's going to have an uphill battle because unless he shows some real, real promise, which he probably will, it's going to be hard for them to go get free agents. People want to leave there. Guys like A.J. Green don't want to be there. Guys yeah. like Ocho Cinco and Houston Zada, who played with Carson, once they got a chance to get out of there, they were wanting to get out of Cincinnati and get in bigger markets to make more money to build their brand. And that's the toughest part about being in Cincinnati is your brand. As a quarterback, you can build a brand, but most of those other position players, it's hard compared to being in New York, or
LA, other LA and stuff.
Yeah.
So, well, the thing about Burrow that is a little different and is evidenced by when he threw out about the food bank in Athens, Ohio during his Heisman Trophy yeah. speech. That was really incredible. I mean, the kid showed a mm-hmm. depth and a worldly knowledge mm-hmm. and a sense of feeling that people related to in a huge way. And the impact that he made for that particular charity and then subsequently another charity here in Louisiana that everybody's benefiting from because of what he's done is pretty amazing. And also the fact that he's in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And he has an opportunity there from a non-football sense to become a real game and life changer for himself and the community. And that's not to say that he should go to the Bengals because we all know the Bengals are really grinding. But you never know. You never know that one guy maybe can change things around. If he says, hey, I'm going, mm-hmm. And if you're yeah. a receiver, let's just say you're a wide receiver and you say, gosh, look at what this kid did in college and the way he reads receivers and the way he can fling it. Maybe I'd like to play for him, and yeah. trickle down from there.
Well, anything's possible, look at Buffalo. Small market, yeah, Buffalo, New York.
Of course.
I mean, they made the playoffs this year, and the future looks bright for them.
The Pittsburgh Steelers had a dynasty, Pittsburgh's yeah. in the middle of nowhere.
I'm a Steelers fan now.
No, but they're in the middle of nowhere. If you really think about it, there's nothing near Pittsburgh. I was just there recently, and I like Pittsburgh.
But we can thank a Louisiana native named Terry Bradshaw. A
couple there.
Shreveport. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to be a special player to ignite and turn the whole thing around, and Burrow might be the guy to do it. I mean, Lee said, I mean, everything he does is he seems calm, mature.
The kid's got special qualities.
He does. His dad was a coach. He's a fifth-year guy. I mean, the guy doesn't race to do anything. He walks down the hill. You know what I'm saying?
And Josh, let me ask you this, though. How good could you have been if you got to spend 2 years at LSU and you went to campus twice? once to just go see what it looked like, computer, and another time to graduate. And spent your entire day, every day,
studying,
training, studying, practicing. I mean, it was unbelievable the opportunity that he was able to be afforded as a basically a professional athlete graduate student.
And you know what else, Josh? You know what else Josh was able to do? The worst franchise in the NFL. He was a part of that short time. It's Cleveland. Jim Brown, man. I mean, I really want those guys to win.
Josh,
man.
Please tell me that you went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame while you were there.
I did.
It's the best museum ever.
Is it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Fantastic. All that stuff. I loved it.
Wow.
You know, Jim Brown.
I didn't know it was in Cleveland. I didn't know that.
Jim Brown used to, when we win, which wasn't very often, we actually got to the playoffs. The last time the Browns were in the playoffs, I was there. We played a wild card game against Pittsburgh in the snow up there. But Jim Brown would sit outside of our locker room and shake everybody's hand if you won the game coming back in the locker room. And we won, I think, 9 games the year we went to the playoffs. And he was always there, though. Every game, every home game, they would fly Jim Brown in, and he would be there, you know, I guess the walk-around guy. But, man, it was special to give him a high five after a win and do all that. Anyway, that was some Cleveland. That was one of the better Cleveland moments in 3 years that I was there. But
not many nine-win seasons, yeah.
Yeah,
but
not many.
Sam Rutugliano, that was way back. But before you go, Josh, name two of your favorite LSU basketball players.
I mean, growing up, Chris Jackson. I mean, and he'd shoot the three and look and go back to the defensive end of the court without watching it go through the rim. I mean, it was unbelievable how good of a player he was. I wanted to be Chris Jackson. I played basketball growing up, you know. Everybody wanted to be Chris Jackson. And I'm a huge Laker fan, from Kareem and Magic and all those Laker guys.
I am
back
too.
In the day.
James so Worthy, Jackson. All them guys.
Yeah, Worthy, Cooper, Byron Scott. I loved all those guys. But when Shaq ended up going to L.A., I mean, I was just so pumped. It was, you know, it was awesome. He actually, when I was playing with the Marlins, he was with the Magic, and he had gotten me a lot of game tickets when we were in, like, spring training and stuff at Cocoa Beach. I'd drive over and park in the player's lot and go to the games, and he'd set me up, and it was so much fun. Dennis Tracy was his kind of a runaround manager guy that was played with him at LSU, and I'd struck up a relationship with him, too, so they would take care of me. I'd go over there and watch the games. And so I got to watch him in big finals and different things like that back in the day. But Chris Jackson and Shaq by far, just because of when I was young, I idolized those guys.
And Josh, we can't leave out a Laker that is never mentioned that everybody remembered, Kurt Rambis. Remember him, Lee?
Yeah, but he didn't play at LSU. But I will tell you this, though. I was the LSU basketball beat writer the 1 year that Shaq and Chris played together. And I would tell people that you would go to a basketball game and you were going to see at least one thing you had never seen before, because I'd never seen anybody like Chris Jackson. We'd never seen anything like Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. And I always remind him, I know him since he was a little tiny 6'11 freshman.
And Stanley Roberts was ahead of Shaq, which was scary. You remember that, Lee?
He was way better. You mentioned Dennis Tracy. He's down in New Orleans. I keep up with him a little bit now and then.
I haven't talked to him in 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, he's down in New Orleans we're Facebook friends, you know, so there you go. Josh, this is Lee's going to probably kick you out of here, but great to catch up with you, man. I'm glad you're doing well.
Before you go, favorite NBA player of all time.
NBA
Josh
player,
Booty.
Okay.
NBA
of all time?
Yeah, doesn't have to be an LSU guy.
Well, Magic probably, just because I love the floor, the leadership. I love LeBron, too, because of everything he does. And a lot of people hate on LeBron. I just love that they have every facet of the game. You can put Magic down in the low post. He's an assist guy. You know, he can shoot jumpers. I mean, he can pass. He knows everybody, what everybody's doing on the floor. I love that about LeBron. I think he's the ultimate NBA player in the Warriors. I mean, just because he can do everything. He slaps balls into the fifth row. He can go, you know, he runs the break. He can do point. He can play low post. He can guard anybody, anytime, anywhere. I mean, I just love him. I just think when I was in Cleveland, he was in Akron, and I got to spend some time with him back when he was in high school and go watch him play and had been to his home and all that stuff. And I mean, I just love where he came from and the odds that were against him. And he just, he just didn't even never flinch. I just love it. I love that about it.
Man, I thought you were going to say Manute Bol.
Wait a minute. Yeah, the stick. Ball. He was the stick. Yeah. 7 foot yep. six. Yeah.
I love basketball, man. I watch it like crazy. I really do. And of course, the Lakers look good this year, and I hope they can win. And Anthony Davis, that was a huge pickup. But, yeah, I love it. Probably a lot like you guys love it.
And I'll tell you what, one last thing. I think Bill Walton keeps us all up late at night if you watch the Pac-12. Even yeah. if you don't like him, the things that he says, it's like, what?
What? Huh? Oregon, the UCLA games? Yeah, Oregon played last night. Stanford, SC, they all play. I watched a lot of those games last night. I love the West Coast basketball, but I love it all.
All right, Josh, thanks for joining us, man, as always, man. And look, good luck to your
Thank
son.
You,
Tell your dad, honestly, you. John. I said, hey, and good luck. We'll talk soon, Josh.
Thank you guys for having me. Always a pleasure.
We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our fan segment of the week.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to tune in this week to Louisiana Football TV Magazine as host Lee Brekeen brings on big-time guests, recruits, coaches, you name it. You can catch the show on Yearview, Channel 4 in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette, CW21 in Shreveport-Bossier City area, CBS in Lake Charles, ETEL in Ascension, and ETEL Vision in Houma, Lafourche. Check your area for local listings. It's time for Lee's Fan Segment of the Week.
Welcome back. We've got our Fan Segment of the Week, and actually a childhood friend of mine who we still play a little basketball. Maybe need to go on a diet to go back on the court. I do. I can't speak for my friend, but I know I do. I'm working on that now in the gym. Lee Fonswog's with me as my guest. Lee Fonswog has 225 TV, Sports 225 TV, and also VolleyballMag.com. And we're joined by Jeff Morgan as our fan segment. And, Jeff, I grew up with you, you know, going back to high school. And we played a lot of basketball growing up.
Yeah, sure did. We worked together after school, and then after work when it was dark, we could find a light and a basketball goal, we'd go out there and shoot. Yeah, and
some of them might have been 8.5, 9 feet goals. I mean, some no nets. I mean, Lee Fonz.
That was the only way I could dominate you.
Oh, I love the low goal. You know, we had one in my backyard that was awesome, and my son who later played college basketball, he got to about 14, and I couldn't beat him anymore on the 8.5 foot goal. And I was like, all right, I quit. I haven't touched a basketball since.
Jeff, you know, this is your chance to just talk about what you like as a fan. I mean, you like pro football, college basketball. Obviously, I don't know if you keep up with high school basketball, but I know, you're a little diversified guy that you keep up with sports. I mean, you're a sports guy.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, big LSU football fan, and NFL. I follow the NFL pretty closely. You used to follow it a little more. Now I just kind of follow the Saints a little more closely. But, yeah, basketball. Was excited about this year for LSU basketball. Now I'm kind of worried about them, but hopefully they'll get it back on track.
And look, fantasy football, you've told me it's kind of changed a little bit from when you started meeting with your groups. You said, nobody meets anymore. Everything's online.
It used to be, at least for me, when it first started about it, the camaraderie, getting together with a group of guys, going, having a few beers, a pizza or something at a place, and having a draft in person. Now it's, everything's on the internet. You can just kind of draft your players on the internet. You don't even have to meet with your people. You can be in a football league with a 12-year-old in Minnesota. I mean, it's changed dramatically. Yeah.
You know, Lee Fonswog's not a fan of the 3-point shot. What's your feelings on the 3-point shot in college basketball?
I don't mind it. I don't really have strong opinions one way or another. I would like to see this LSU team defend the 3-point shot a little better, but I'm fine with the 3-point shot.
Yeah, that covering the three the last few games has been really tough for them, especially so Kentucky and Vanderbilt both just shot the 3-pointers out of their minds where they hadn't done it against. You know, and I like, you know, I understand the strategy. You got to just let them shoot it if they're bad 3-point shooters. But if they're going to light it up against you, man, what a shame. Because LSU really is a pretty good defensive team and covers and works hard on defense.
Well, you know, it reminds me of when you're growing up, like Jeff. I mean, you're playing horse, right? Or you're playing where you just, you know, shoot this shot in this area. That kind of looks like that in a game sometimes with LSU. It's like you said, Lee, I mean, the worst shooter for Kentucky, the 6'9 Ivy League transfer, he had his best game of the season. He hadn't hit a three all year.
This LSU basketball team is super quick and super athletic. Man, Kentucky was quicker and more athletic. I was surprised.
They got three great guards.
Mm-hmm. Quick.
So, Jeff, what is your thoughts on the XFL right now as a fan?
Jeff, please don't tell me you've thought about the XFL. Say, Lee, I haven't ever thought about it and never will. That's what I'm telling
you. I have, actually. The first weekend I watched one full game. I couldn't tell you what teams it was that was playing. However, I thought it was a decent game. I mean, there were some receivers who dropped some wide open passes. That was, you know, that looked amateurish. But other than that, I thought the quality of play was slightly above average.
That's honest. NBA. You follow the NBA. Who's going to win the NBA? Who's going to win it all this year?
Oh, goodness. I mean, it's pretty wide open. Probably one of the L.A. teams. Kind of rooting more for Kawhi over LeBron in the West. But I would venture to say one of those two. Those two are pretty loaded. Milwaukee probably gives the East the best chance to finish it out.
I'm rooting for the Brooklyn Nets because Garrett Temple plays for the Brooklyn. He's the only NBA player I talk to anymore.
A career!
He's had an unbelievable career.
But they're not going to win the NBA championship.
No. Kyrie is out now for the.
What about Milwaukee? You mentioned Milwaukee. I mean, they've got one of the best players in the league, the Greek god of the league. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. But what do you think, Lee Fonswag? What do you think of Milwaukee Bucks?
I just know that they have Giannis, the Greek freak, and I couldn't tell you anything else about it. The playoffs haven't started yet, so I haven't watched any NBA. This is great. Lee's cat just jumped up on the table. And no, be careful now. That's an old, fragile cat now. Be careful. I love it. See, cats are great. There's sunshine up here on the table, and the cat's like, dude, I can get up here in the sunshine and hang out. Oh, and now he's spinning on the Lazy Susan. It's too bad this is a podcast and you can't see this.
Live.
And see, and he just hissed at Jace here saying, just leave him. He's not hurt anything. Yo, cat, what's the over-under on you? This is great. This cat's like, dude, I am laying on this notebook and there's nothing you can do about it. All right. Cat wins.
Live podcast.
That's great. I loved it.
Jeff, any thoughts as a fan?
I'm getting a picture of this, Lee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your thoughts as far as moving forward, and are you having withdrawals with no football?
Well, I would say the XFL kind of helps out with that, but I don't want to upset Lee. But I would much rather the NFL and the quality of play and the caliber of athletes in the NFL. So, it's I'm ready for football season already.
All right, I've got to ask Lee Fonswag this, and Jeff, Dak Prescott, does he get the money from Jerry Jones? Does it matter? Will he move on? You think Jerry will pay him?
Jerry ought to give all the money to the Bengals and try to trade up for the first pick.
That would be nice. Well, no, I don't think I'd want to see Joe Burrow play for the Cowboys.
Pull a Ditka. Remember the Ricky Williams draft?
Absolutely.
What is
Ricky Williams has become a respectable Texas athletics person now.
Has he?
Yeah, which is hard to believe.
Left the Florida Everglades and
something
moved
like
to
that.
Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of the same kind of area there. But what is, Minnesota, I've got to mention this. I mean, we all follow the NFL, but 0-4 in Super Bowls, right? Fran Tarkenton, Ahmad Rashad, all this great Alan Page. Can Minnesota win with Kirk Cousins?
I say yes.
Jeff, what do you think? Can Kirk Cousins go to take him to the Super Bowl? Or do they need a quarterback?
I think they're kind of, for lack of a better word, stuck with him for a while. But I just don't know that he's a winner in that way. I don't know. He definitely had a much better year this year in Minnesota than his than the first year he had there. I don't see it.
Atlanta, Matt Ryan, how much longer is that marriage? And then would it be crazy if Cam Newton left Carolina to go to Atlanta? Could happen. And Matt could get traded.
Atlanta ought to trade up for the Bengals' first pick.
I agree with that.
You're trying
but
to put
the Saints fans
Joe with some, yeah.
Oh, you know, it's you say that, but you know what's so funny is that all those guys in the NFL all were college rivals. And so the fans, they don't even think about the fans, like where they're going to play. They want to go where they're going to get the most money and have the best chances, you know. And it's, what do you think? People here wouldn't root for Joe Burrow and the Falcons if he went to the Falcons or if he went to the Cowboys? Of course they would.
Well, it's going to not, don't say and that in New Orleans.
That'd change that. That'd be pretty funny.
Well, I know one team that could need a quarterback after this coming year is Cleveland. How much longer are they going to start Baker Mayfield?
Cleveland could. What about the Saints are going to need a quarterback.
Chargers, San Diego, they let, Phillips gone? Where's Rivers going to go? Will Rivers go to Dallas? What do you think of that, Jeff? If Rivers ends up in Dallas and Dak leaves, Rivers could do some really good damage.
Yeah. I mean, I think he still has a little in the tank. That's all kind of in
– right, if it happens.
Kind of crazy scenarios, but it's going to be interesting to see now that the Drew Brees situation is settled for the most part, still have to work out money, but it's going to be interesting to see where all these quarterbacks land, where they're going to be, where the college quarterbacks are going to be drafted. It's going to be different.
I want to mention this too. And I don't know if Jeff has a comment about it, but Lee, the girls' basketball team at LSU. I haven't been watching them lately, but I've noticed that, it's been a good season considering they don't have the most talent.
They've done well. But, Lee, if you think I'm down on men's basketball, I'd rather watch somebody mow their lawn or pump gas than watch women's basketball right now. It's intolerable. They can't hit the one-foot shot. There's like eight players coming out every year who can help you win the national championship, and they go to three teams. It's horrible. It's horrible.
So Connecticut probably wins it again?
No, Connecticut's down this year. They're out of the top five for the first time, like maybe in history. You still have a landline, huh? It's great. Jeff, can you hear Lee's landline ringing? He's like the last person here with a landline.
Look, Lee Fonswald's picking out everything. If there's a UFO landing outside, he's going
to
take a picture.
I got the landline and the cat so far. It'll teach him to invite me to his house and have me on his podcast.
So, Jeff, LSU this coming season, no Joe Burrow. Spring's yet to start. You think they'll win some games this year? Keep it going?
Nah, they're going to go winless.
I truly am excited to see what Miles Brennan is going to be able to do. I believe in that kid. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback. Kind of hard to follow the greatest quarterback in NFL history, but got to kind of temper our expectations on that.
LSU history. You said NFL history, but I know what you mean.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I would just say the one thing is that they had he had, other than Pete Maravich, the single best LSU sports season by an LSU athlete in the history of the program, the history of the school.
Well, I've got to mention something. Our next guest now, and Lee's only got about 10 minutes left, and that's perfect. But it's the girls' basketball coach from Centenary.
Women's. They're not called the gents either, are they?
Well, women's basketball at Centenary. Tom's a good sport. So, but Jeff, thanks, man. I know you're working, and appreciate you joining us. And you know, another month in the gym. Maybe we go shoot some basketball, man.
Sounds great, man. I appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for putting up with me.
And no, hey, enjoy your beer segment too.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to check out our website at LAFootballMagazine.com for all the latest recruiting information statewide. This week, check out all of our recruiting interviews with all the latest prospects and coaches. Also, make sure to check out our website to stay up to date with our TV show each week. That website, again, is LAFootballMagazine.com.
We're going to pick up in the conversation. We had some technical difficulties that happens. But I want to go ahead and introduce, because the conversation kind of picks up in the middle, for Tom Jackson, the head women's basketball coach at Centenary College in Shreveport.
And then we have our final home game tomorrow night. We'll be senior night. Well, we are the two seniors against the University of Dallas. It has been a tough year. You know, these kids fought their tails off for us, and I can't be more proud of a group of young ladies. But, you know, it's just one of those years where they say losing builds character. I've got a lot of it.
Tom, talk about some of your basketball stories. Me and you were talking the other day at some of the well-known basketball coaches that you know really well in the business, and I think people would enjoy hearing that, some of the guys that, and some of the coaches that you've known in the basketball world.
Oh, Lord. You know, one of my first is when I was with Roman at Bank Southern Shreveport, and we were going to Jones County 25 years ago or whatever. We were real funded on a Southern University bus. We had Vicksburg, Mississippi, and the bus broke down. And of course, we can't make up a Hall Ferry Road exit. And so the bus started rolling backwards. We hit a Lincoln Continental. And, you know, of course, a lady gets out of the car, and, you know, cops are called, and police walk right up on the front of the bus, and they see me, and they don't see anybody else. They were astounded to know that Southern had had a white coach, and they made comments about it. You know, that's certainly one of the highlights. And, you know, one of the best ones. My first year, I guess my second year sitting there, our first year when we were going to division, I mean, that transition, we were Division III now. We went to Colorado, and once again, the bus store,
bus broke down again?
Bus broke down again, but we played University of Dallas on Friday night, and we were going to drive all night in the sleeper bus to Colorado College. So we went up there and played, lost. Turn around and we're coming back. Well, the girls, they alternate years. The girls play first one year and the guys play second. Well, that year we played second. And so we got on the bus and took off. And bus broke down the first time. And so the guy gets out and he fixed the bus. He thought, in the meantime, the girls' bus passes by, and the head coach of the girls' program didn't think anything about it, so she just kept driving. She finally called us about 30 miles down the road and asked if that was us on the side of the road. We told it was.
Tom, a lot of buses breaking down as a coach, man, huh, Lee Fonswar? This is like a depressing story.
I'm not going to drive with
them. At the time, it was depressing, but you know, now you look back on it, and it's kind of funny because, you know, you'd be a coach, you'd have a story. But long story short, it took us 3 days to get home.
And, a lot of team bonding.
A lot of team bonding. And, of course, we didn't have, you know, we had enough clothes for a week. the 3 days we were in Colorado. So we had to turn around. I think I was home about 12 hours and had to turn around and go to university. Had to go to Trinity, that San Antonio trip. And of course, you know what happened down there. I don't have to tell you that we played an egg. But, yeah, so there's some there's some good stories out there.
The behind the scenes of not what you got to deal with as a coach and the travel, the expenses, the – And look, at Centenary, being a small college, like Lee said, not a lot of money there, expenses. You know, everybody's doing it for the love of the game. And like yourself, I mean, you're coaching at a school that they don't have a ton of money like an LSU or even like a Tech. But, man, you're doing it for the love of the game.
We are. And, you know, right now the guys are number one in the league. They've got to win out this weekend, but they can be potentially number one in the league. So it can be done. But 5 years ago, 2010, we were 1-29 because that was that year we transferred 1-3. 5 years later, we hit a lightning bottle and we won the conference championship. So baseball historically has been there, been good. Women's soccer has had a good year. So, you know, it can be done. It's not impossible. You always have to have – you got to get the right players. You know, we had a kid that on the guy side graduated 2 years ago. I found him at a track meet. And graduated with two majors and a master, sitting there in 5 years, was a 1,500-point score, 1,000-rebound player, and a 500 assist. So, yeah, it can be done. And who's willing to lay it all on the line, and it can be done. So I'm the first one to tell you.
Tom, mention this for parents and that are listening, moms and dads. If a young lady or boy, anybody, female or male, that wants to play women's basketball or boys basketball, and they want to go to a school like Centenary, tell them the process of how to get in touch with Centenary. If you're a good, you know, good athlete, you have good grades. Obviously, I know you get certain grades to get into school. But tell everybody, because I want to promote Centenary to help you, you know, with parents that are listening.
If you've got a girl who wants to get, you know, call me, and then we'll go through the call me or call Coach Dorsey, the guys coach. And the process is like any other process. Once they call me, I will, we'll start the process, talk to the parents, talk to the coach, and I'll go to the admissions department. We'll start at ASAP to get them in. We've got I think it's through the 1st of March. If they visit the campus for a visit, they get automatically a $2,500 scholarship, and that $2,500 scholarship is within their whole 4 years. So, that's $10,000.
Yeah.
Off the top. So, they get in touch with me. This is a girl. We'll get on it.
Tell everybody, Centenary is located in Shreveport. The campus is in Shreveport there. And, who would you say was one of the best players that ever come out of there from the women's team and also the boys? Any couple of names that you might could throw out some great.
Well, on the girl side, you've got Amber Smith, who's played Loyola and had a great career at University of Missouri. I think she's in their 1,500-point scoring group. And then you certainly, with the other girl, would have to be Alicia Jackson. Her dad, most people in Shreveport know, is Willie Jackson.
Yeah.
And so she was a heck of a player, but you know, the guy side, everybody knows the Chief, Robert Parrish,
who's
one of the 50 greatest players. Willie Jackson, who was from Sibley at the time, I think it's now Lakeview. Willie Jackson was there. Wayne Bobeth, who was 7'2". Wayne Smith. I mean, Greg Smith, his brother, who's a sharpshooter. Sidney's had, on the guy side, and then the kid I talked about, Trevion Kirkendall, who graduated 2 years ago from Lakeview. He's a 5'10 guard that gets flat.
Hey, Coach, Oh, Coach, the most important thing that Lee's leaving out, you could probably fill in the blanks on this, is right across the street from campus is that old-timey restaurant with the greatest pies.
What's that? Yeah, ain't joking. Strong. They've got the best hamburgers. They have plate lunches.
That's all you need to know about Shreveport right there in Centenary. Go there when you go there. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. It's a great place. We used to make the that's where we'd have team breakfast on Saturday morning if we had a game. We learned that a valuable lesson not to take them there on game day.
Well, Tom, they're going to love you after the show. Hey, we're going to go.
They're going to love me. I'm the one who brought it up.
And I was going to ask him about Robert Parrish. He talks about this pie place across the street. Well, they're going to love that. But, Tom, talk about LSU. I know you're a fan, too. And we're gonna wrap it up. But one quick note from you with LSU. How do you feel being a fan and going to LSU as a student way back? What's your thoughts on the national championship?
Unbelievable! It's a highlight of my life. I never thought that we'd ever see something like this, and it was just a tremendous season. Tremendous. I still wake up every morning. I watch the game 3 or 4 times to make sure that it was real.
Yeah.
I never thought we'd see a 5,000-yard passer, 3,000-yard receivers. And wow, what a year.
A lot of people in Shreveport, Bossier, happy. Tiger fans. I know a lot of the Centenary students like LSU. And I told you, Tom, I saw you in Destin, Florida this past summer. I said, we're going to get you on. We're going to promote the college. And you're like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to get you on, man.
Well, I appreciate you getting me on it. I look forward to it. And I appreciate you giving sitting there some love because Lord knows we need it.
Hey, and Tom, good luck. Get that win tonight, man. Look, win one, and like in basketball, you start a winning streak. You never know. You never know.
We're gonna try to get the light in the bottle tonight.
All right, Tom. Good luck tonight. That was head women's basketball coach at Centenary College, Tom Jackson. We'll be back. We're going to go ahead and end the show with Lee Fonswar.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Tom.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Yeah, I want Lee Fonswag, I appreciate you being here today. I want to promote one more time for you.
Let me do it. I'm better at it than you.
Oh.
Television show is Sports225. Go to Sports225.com for all the details and when it's on Your View and on CST and to archive old shows. Like, we put them all on the Sports225 TV YouTube channel. And I'm almost caught up. I'm only like 2 months behind now. Pretty bad, huh? And then Volleyball Magazine, which is volleyballmag.com. We cover the sport on all fronts, all day, every day. We're like a daily digital newspaper about volleyball. And a lot of really cool stuff in there. Some of it you don't have to be a volleyball fan to appreciate.
Before you go, you want to promote any tournaments? Or are you trying to get any more?
Oh, no, we're bursting at the seams. I need you to build me a big facility here in Baton Rouge with lots of volleyball courts. That would really help.
Before you go, though, tell everybody this is not just Baton Rouge for you. This is all over the country.
Well, right? Volleyball Magazine, we're international.
But your tournaments.
We do two tournaments, USA Volleyball Girls Junior Club tournaments, one in New Orleans, Martin Luther King Day weekend. And then that's called the New Orleans Blast Off. It started in Baton Rouge, and we moved it after 9 years to the Convention Center in New Orleans because it got so big. Well, now we've got another one here in Baton Rouge called the Baton Rouge Block Party, and it's the last weekend of March. That will never move. It's a Baton Rouge tournament, but it's bursting at the seams. We're at 7 venues, including the River Center and LSU Rec Center. It's a fantastic opportunity for us locally.
any consulting to promote? If anybody wants to get in touch with you, any dads or moms about their,
if you've got ideas on what numbers to put in the lottery, I'll take that. There you go. SportsMonday@AOL.com. Lee, this has been fun. Thanks.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
the highlight
you.
Of my day is your cat, who's 17. Is that the 17-year-old?
17-year-old cat.
Yeah, just
you've
look
got
around.
Two cats. You want to?
Two cats. Well, one's named Ichiro, and Ichiro's really large. And then Kuyan, which is crazy and Cajun, and pretty much that's true. And then two dogs, Benny. People say, what kind of dog is Benny? I say he's white. And there's Granite. Granite's from Mars. He's like one of those dinosaurs in Jurassic Park.
Well,
but
Shuggy,
your cat's awesome.
Shuggy right here. I found him at him.
I love it.
It's a kitten. And then Tiger, Opelousas football game.
Oh, that's good. So you rescued, and that's
rescued
good.
Rescued two cats.
You know, Shuggy here is an old cat, but it's like, nope, I'm jumping up on this high table. And when somebody tried to move him, he just hissed. So he's just laying here enjoying the podcast.
Lee, thank you. Good luck with everything, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Lee.
All right.
It's time for Lee's mailbag.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great part of the show when we end the show and people write in to our website. I also want to mention, like Jace usually mentions, our producer, if you have a question for us and you want to get your question on the podcast, please email us at lbrekeen@aol.com or go to our website, lafootballmagazine.com, and throw out a question if you just want to give us your first name, but tell us what city you're from. We'll use your first name. If you want your whole name, we'll use that too, but we'll use at least give us what city or where you are in the state. We would love to hear from our fans, so write in and ask us. But today, Jace, you got a couple of
Yeah, a couple guys wrote in today, and you can also, if that's hard enough, you can also message us on our Facebook and Twitter page as well, so we'll get those as well. First question, Lee, Jonathan from Houma, he wants to know, will Nicholls State be better next season without Chase 4K at quarterback?
It's going to be interesting to see what Lindsey Scott does. I think Lindsey was more suited for the 1AA level. You know, or maybe the right D1. But going to Missouri, they had Drew Locke. You know, he goes to LSU and, you know, he just, you know, doesn't always work out. Went to junior college and had a great
and won
career.
The national championship.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he's going to do as good as Chase because the offense is ready and they got great running backs coming back and they got a big O-line. I think Nicholls' team is going to be the best team they've had in a long time. Then now, wow. Rebo's been winning with, you know, Chase and like Evan Veyron and all those guys. But this team is really stacked. And they've got, what, 8 or 9 D1 transfers coming in this year that are from Arkansas and different schools that are legitimate.
Yeah, including LSU, Keenan Jones.
Yeah, they don't even need these guys. That's when you know Nicholls State's arrived. And I really believe that Lindsey Scott could end up being the player of the year in the Southland Conference if things go right.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting, the quarterback battles behind him as well.
Yeah.
Next question, Tim from Lake Charles. He wants to know, who are some guys you're looking out for in the area, high school prospects for next season?
Well, Jace, as you know, Sulphur was young last year. They have a new coach, and they've got a lot of talent coming up. I really like the kids that are at Iowa. Iowa's got a couple of sleepers, and I really believe that the school also, College Prep.
Wait, Charles, College Prep.
Is loaded. I love three of their up-and-coming 220s, 221 guys. But I think the talent level in Lake Charles is getting better. It's not obviously where as many as Baton Rouge or New Orleans. Probably never will be, but the population has doubled because of the petrochemical industry. There's over 10,000 new families in that area, and when that happens, you have more kids playing football or more kids playing different sports, and I think that's going to improve, and you're starting to see it. Even Jennings is starting to put out players every year. Travis Etienne's little brother's coming up.
You got the big defensive
the big
lineman.
D tackle.
Right.
Iowa's got a big-time DB. I mean, everybody's got somebody coming. Even Vinton and Oberlin have players coming up, and when you see that, and Washington Marion's always had players. Westlake has got some talent coming up. I think St. Louis is going to be better. They were good last year.
Barb's always Barb's
going to be better this coming year. They had kind of a down year last year. But I love the talent. South and East Beauregard has good teams. They've been good the last 8 to 10 years. But I really love what's going on in the Lake Charles area. And even Pickering, kind of an outskirts. Leesville High School's really done well. I'm excited for the area.
And the last one, Becky from Lafayette wants to know, what do you think of the Raging Cajuns next season coming off their great season a year ago, and also with the return of starting quarterback Levi Lewis?
Yeah, Levi Lewis from Baton Rouge, Scotlandville. You know, even I didn't think that he would be a quarterback. I thought he would go to slot receiver, and I think UL really didn't know what he would do, and he ends up being a great quarterback. He kind of just saw it. The light came on, and this guy can – he's a dual threat, but his arm has improved, and they've got three great running backs. I mean, Regis is a phenomenal player that went to Shaw, started at St. Aug. Elijah Mitchell is a great running back, who's ERAF kid that's going to be an NFL guy. Their offensive line's got a chance to be really good. They got two NFL prospects, Jace, on their O-line, and they got a lot of good defense. So I really like the future of UL, and I think they have a chance to compete for the conference championship. Now, Appalachian State's still going to be good, and you still got to beat the ULM of Monroe's, the Troy's.
Troy's of the world, Georgia Southern's.
Yeah, I mean, Florida National and Florida Atlantic and those teams. But I think they have a chance. I think Billy Napier is going to have his best team this coming season.
Okay, I'm going to add a question in for you. Because I know, the two Lees talk all
yeah, right,
show.
Right.
And I just want to ask you, you've been asking a lot of people, what are their favorite, college NBA basketball players they've seen? And we'll ask you, Lee, what are the most favorite that you've seen?
Now, this is not the best. This is just the ones I grew up watching.
Right.
Obviously, Bob Pettit was before me, and Pistol Pete was before me. Yeah. But I love their old film. Dr. J, Julius Erving was one of my childhood favorites. From the Philadelphia 76ers, Magic Johnson with the Lakers, Larry Bird with the Celtics, Tim Duncan with San Antonio Spurs, Michael Jordan, obviously, LeBron James, I do like LeBron, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Lou Alcindor was, to me, one of the greatest. He wore his goggles. The Lakers, him and James Worthy and Magic and Cooper, like Josh Booty said earlier, I was a Lakers fan. I still like the Lakers, but I've kind of always been Boston and L.A. You know, those two don't like each other, but I've really always loved the Boston Celtics organization and the Lakers organization. So those are my teams. If anybody else is good, then I'm rooting for individual players. Like, I want to see LeBron win another one because he's that old guy that nobody thinks can lead his team to another championship, and I think he can.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Like, I think I mentioned on the last podcast that they won it this year because of the passing of Kobe Bryant. I'll be even better.
In college basketball, Chris Jackson, I'm still going to call him Chris, Jerry Reynolds, Ethan Martin, Marcus Thornton. I love Rudy Macklin's been on our TV show. Ricky Blanton was a 6'6 center, phenomenal. And like I said, a lot of those guys before me, I didn't get to see play. I wish I would have grown up with Pistol Pete Maravich, but just watching his film, phenomenal. I was shocked that Lee Fonswag said his favorite LSU basketball player was Gert Hammack, which is really the question. It's not who the most talented player was, but his favorite. And Gert Hammack, we found out where he's living now, man, in Germany. So it's good to have Lee on and get a different perspective of who likes who and who grew up watching what. So.
And it's great that you mentioned Chris Jackson because his jersey's going to be retired next Saturday.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right, and I'm glad to see him coming back to LSU and being a part of LSU because he's only been back, I think, a couple of times in 25 years. And I grew up wanting to go shoot basketball when the game was over. You know, like Josh Booty said, when Chris scored 50 or 40 points, I was outside shooting basketball. It made me want to play the game. And really, really great player out of Gulfport, Mississippi. Dale Brown could sign some basketball players. And Shaquille O'Neal, we didn't mention him, but
– yep.
You know, we all love Shaquille. I'm just saying, as far as our favorites, Shaq was one of the greatest ever to play at LSU. I just think it's a good thing to throw out. We could have probably named 50 players easily.
Right, right. Of course. And just going further, I guess just to wrap up the show, what are your overall thoughts? This is the first time we had an in-studio guest in Lee Fonswag. I had to see the Lee squared. That was great to watch.
Well, you know, Lee's all about live, and even though we tape it and we play it, he admitted to me that he owned a couple of cats as pets. I didn't know that. He saw I have a couple of cats, and then, you know, I mean, he's something. Yep. I'm glad to have him on. Josh Booty did great. Jeff Morgan, the fan segment, and also Coach Tom Jackson at Centenary. Really had a good time with these guys. And then I want to mention consulting, as always, if you're a dad or mom listening, and you have a kid that's a 221, 222, or 223 prospect, you can email me at lbrekean@aol.com. If you're looking for someone to hire for consulting, we do the tapes. I've been doing this since 1991. One of our first clients was Donnie Jones, a Catholic high, Jace's old high school here in Baton Rouge. Several players we've worked with, consulting, talking about the process, doing it the right way, old school and camps, and, you know, just going through it can be grueling for a mom and dad. And I've had clients that played ball. Their dads were pro players. And it's still different than the 80s, Jace, and the 70s and the 90s. And, heck, since 2005 it's changed, in 2010. So if you need help, you know, get in touch with me. And I don't mind talking to you over the phone to help you, even if you don't hire. It's just to give you advice on what to do and how to go through this. Because the first thing is you got to realize how good your son is. And that's hard because mom and dads always think,
Your son's the best.
But you got to be honest with the mom and dad on where they are. And I think that's the hardest part of consulting, is that people want of all, they all want to help, but not everybody wants to tell the truth on, hey, this is where your kid's at, and this is where he can go or she can go, and this is the angle you need to take. And that's the key, is to start on where, and look, kids get better every year. Some kids don't, but, you know, it's you know, the academics is very important as well. To get into certain colleges, you got to have certain ACTs, as you know, Jace, and certain GPAs. Some you got to test to get in the colleges.
Yep, you're exactly right about that. And also to wrap it up as well, the TV show, we're about to put this year's episodes on YouTube. So yeah, that's another way. Of course, we got the podcast is on YouTube as well. As far as this podcast is concerned, we just picked up iHeartRadio. So
pumped about that.
Yeah, definitely. And you can also, if worst comes to worst, just go to our website, because it has the link to each outlet, whatever you listen to your podcast, whether it be Spotify, Apple's, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, like I just said, Podbean, or, yeah, even YouTube. We have it on YouTube. So,
and the magazine, we're going to start working on the magazine. Actually, close to 100 games I went to this past year, and then 100 game films I watched on the teams I didn't see, which gives you a lot of gray hair, Jason.
I can't imagine.
As you know, I do that. And so that's the information. We just got to put the book together, and we're working on that. So if you're, you know, a fan or a parent, you can go to our website and order a magazine. You can pre-order one, LAFootballMagazine.com. It'll be our 24th preview issue, 24 years of promoting Louisiana high school football. It's Louisiana Football Magazine. It's a 125 to 130 page book. It's got all the high schools in it. It's got a recruiting section. Right. Of all Louisiana teams. It's got all the colleges.
All the colleges previews.
Jace has been working with us for about 4 years. He helps us put together and actually helps write the information that we get in. And so we're excited about that. It's going to be another great year. And I don't know, are we missing anything?
I think that pretty much covers a lot of it. Of course, go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. We're kind of wrapping up. We did the interviews before the season started. So this past week, we put Wayne Galloway out. He signed with Richmond, and we did an interview before the summer. And also a couple Hainesville kids that we interviewed before the season as well. So we're just kind of wrapping up what is left with those interviews.
I also want to mention one more thing. We usually have a segment called Lee's Travels.
Right.
But yes. I want to go ahead and mention it because even though the coach didn't call in, I want to mention that I really had a good time being in Raceland, Louisiana over the week, and also Lockport, and going through
IU country.
Oh, man, you talk about good stuff. I was at Central Lafourche High School, and I'm just going to talk about it now, but meeting Keith Menard, the head coach. I've known Keith for 20 years. He used to be the head coach at Central High School. He played at Nicholls State for Sonny Jackson back in the day and was a good quarterback. Keith Menard, the head coach at Central Lafourche, has done a great job with that program. And talking to Keith for 2020, they might be the youngest they've been in a decade. So, hey, you know, give coach a pass if they don't make the playoffs. If they do, give him a coaching award, because he said going into spring, Jace, they don't have a quarterback on the roster.
Well, they better go get it. They better go get one.
They don't even have one. And he said that's the first time in 23 years as a coach, as a head coach, he does not have a quarterback yet. So that'll give you an idea where Central Lafourche is. And I'm trying to help their running back, their senior running back,
Deion Jenkins,
sign a scholarship. He's got to go to a junior college. And I want to put this out there to colleges that listen. Deion Jenkins is a big-time football player. He's about 5'8", about 175, 180. He doesn't know he's small. And he runs between the tackles. He had over 5,000 yards.
His stats are incredible.
60, 70 touchdowns. He has great vision. He hits the hole quick. He's got the burst. Now, he's not a 4-5 guy, but he hits the hole like he's a 4-4. He's a football player. Deion Jenkins, if you're listening to this and you're a junior college coach, take this kid, because most junior colleges want a big guy to play running back, or they want a fast big guy. But you know what? Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, Kevin Falk, I can name them.
Walter Payton.
They're all 5'8", 5'9". Yeah. And Deion's at. And he's going to be about 195 when he's done. Dalton Hilliard was small.
Right.
Deion Jenkins, remember the name. Somebody give this kid an opportunity. He just needs a couple of years, get his grades straight. And he can play for anybody, Jace. And actually, if he can get to a junior college and do good, who knows? Nicholls State might be he might be the starting running back at Nicholls State one day and break all the records at that school.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes, because I know Coach Rebo is doing that.
Great job.
Great job with that program.
So we're going to wrap it up. We hope everybody enjoyed the show. Jace Lejeune, the producer. Lee Burkeen, the host. Thank Josh Booty again joining us. Lee Fonswag with 225
Sports 225 TV, you know, and volleyballmag.com.
He's going to get on to me for that. But
yep, Sports 225.
Tom Jackson, the head coach of Centenary women's basketball team. Thanks, Tom, for calling in from Shreveport. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Burkeen.